Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
1-2 to wins. And that will do it. Yiner will have to complete the strikeout with a toss down. The first and the Astros win it 13-3 as they pick up a win in the second game of this four-game series. Cam Smith with two home runs. Mauricio Dubon on base five times. Cooper Hummel, Christian Walker adding home runs. Blummer, that was a full offensive display with five home runs for the Astros.
That was a hell of a summary by Todd Callis right there. That is the Astros season in a nutshell right there. Hey, you got two home runs from Cam Smith. Hey, Mauricio Dubon on base five times. Cooper Hummel, a bomb. You know, just piecing this thing together with a little duct tape, Seth Payne. You know how it goes. Other mic, Seth. Other mic.
Wrong microphone.
There you go.
What a mess.
That's a bougie Seth has more than one microphone.
Yeah. Pacific Coast Times got me all screwed up.
I get it.
This is, where do you go, Sean? Where do you go for Christmas in June or July? You go to Sears. Everybody from our generation knows that.
Sears.
So you have J.P. Sears rack up 39 pitches in the first inning and then just pummel the A's into the earth. Into the earth of wherever the hell they're playing those baseball games. Although I do like that little kind of Little League World Series set up with the lawn.
It's got some
nice
things there. Yeah, it's not bad.
I honestly, Sean, I feel like if I spent 2 weeks with the Astros pitching coaches and analytics staff, I could go three innings.
I wanted to ask you that this morning. How much training would you or I need in order to get a quality start for the Houston Astros?
They need to start franchising their coaching and pitcher development.
Yeah, like McDonald's.
They need to go ahead and set up shop somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Eastern Europe, not a big hotbed for baseball, but it is for basketball.
Yeah.
Just go over there and get every 7-foot freak show that can't quite make it as an NBA player.
Turn them into a
pitcher.
And
teach them how to pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And just have a bunch of Slavic Randy Johnsons out there. The Astros, their staff could do it. They turned dust into gold, Sean.
Jason Alexander is the latest last night. Add Jason Alexander now to the list that includes Ryan Gusto, Brandon Walter, Colton Gordon as randos from the minor leagues that have come up. And Gusto's been with the team all year, but randos that have given them quality starts in the last 3 weeks.
They have no business being a half game out of second place in the AL right now, and yet there they are.
Yep.
And this is where I'm done. I'm done being cautious about it. My God, they've had every bit of bad luck you could have.
Yeah.
I'm knocking on wood as I say this. They've had some pretty damn bad luck. Sean, there's so many things that if they just tip the other way, if the pendulum swings to the right,
yep,
if we're all the way up at the left right now on your little clacking balls desk thing, it's about to come back down and smash Spencer Arrighetti or Luis Garcia up onto the roster, and away we go.
Well,
yes.
What the interesting thing about that, and if you're just waking up, the Astros win 13-3 last night. They hit a bunch of home runs. They got a quality start out of Jason Alexander. And they win 13-3. The Mariners win also, so the lead remains 4.5 games. There's your thumbnail sketch. As far as what you were just talking about with the luck and the injury luck, the really bad injury luck, these are all guys that are going to come back. And, you know, the Tommy John guys are sort of on a separate burner for me just because of how sketchy that's been in bringing some of those guys back. But Arrighetti, Lance McCullers, you know, assuming that it's just a foot sprain. The big one is Yordan Alvarez. Seth, they're probably going to get these guys back all like in July, I would imagine. And I wonder how that affects Dana Brown's decision-making at the trade deadline. This is not a minor league where they're flush with guys that they can really afford to get rid of at this point. You know, but even last year's trade with Kikuchi, you look at the three guys they shipped out, and none of them are doing anything right now. Bloss is the pitcher they sent. Bloss is the latest TJ guy to come out of the Astros organization. I wonder how it affects his decision-making at the trade deadline, or if this team is still winning and in first place and gaining ground on the top of the league, let alone building a bigger lead in their own division. Does he view Arrigetti and Lance, and the big one is Yordan, do they almost feel like trade deadline pickups? Because you're in first place already. You are the best team in this division very clearly without those guys, you know?
Sean, how much would you give up for, say, a Yordan Alvarez? Yes, yeah, let's make that trade. Yeah. Let's make the aggressive trade for Yordan Alvarez with unbroken hand who's playing. I think it's 100%. It's a great way of looking at it and framing it. You are where you are. It doesn't make any sense. And yet there they do. Yeah. They're doing it consistently enough. And Cam Smith, my God, when you look at Cam Smith's rookie year compared to Kyle Tucker's rookie year and think that – now, I mean, Kyle Tucker finished his rookie year batting about 150, 155. Yeah. Sorry if it was a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
he was miserable. Cam Smith is an above-average baseball player right now. He's got a 105 OPS plus or so. He's got a 760 OPS, straight OPS. Four hits last night, and you've seen the promise. You've seen how he's progressed in right field. That I'm cool with standing pat. If they're able to maintain this for the next month, it makes a lot of sense. You got to anticipate that Yordan Alvarez at some point this year, as long as he's healthy, is going to look like the normal Yordan. Even if he's a normally slumping Yordan Alvarez,
it's still 800 OPS. Yeah,
it's still better than various. Who was the Italian guy they traded for in 2022 that did nothing for us?
Mancini.
Thank you, Mancini.
Yeah.
The
Italian.
Would you rather trade for Mancini or just get Yordan Alvarez back?
I think I'd just like to get Yordan back if I'm given those choices. I think the big thing with Cam, too, last night, he finally hit a home run. In fact, he liked it so much, he hit two. I didn't get to see or hear either of them from the lips of Todd Callis. So if you'll indulge me, Seth, can we relive the two Cam Smith home runs since I haven't had a chance to hear these yet? This is Cam Smith's first home run since, I believe, April the 18th. Hits this bomb last night.
Cam hits a high fly ball deep to left field. Cam Smith may have just hit his first home run since April the 18th. Cam Smith, number four on the season, connects on a home run to make it 3-0 Astros.
That's what we like to see. Elevate to celebrate for Cam Smith.
All right, so there you go. And they made the point. I didn't get to see. I was still awake. For whatever reason, I missed that home run. I must have been showering or something. But they were making the point shortly after that I did hear, like, okay, this sort of breaks the dam for Cam a little bit. You know, sometimes power hitters, like, you finally see the ball go through the hoop, they like to say. So, yeah, Cam Smith loved it so much, he did it one more time.
He drills one high and deep. Forget about it. Back-to-back jacks for Cam Smith. And the Astros lead 4-0. Dana Brown said they come in bunches.
That's what
2 and 2 at bats.
Yeah.
That was a bomb. Cam flexing.
Yeah, that it was Dana I was thinking of. The other day when he was on with the guys, you know, like in the bottom of the fourth inning, he sits in with them. And he said, you know what, Cam hasn't, he's had a good rookie year, but the power is probably going to come in bunches. And so that's exciting. You know, they're playing these next two games in a minor league ballpark that skews offensively. Leave Cam in the, don't mess, I mean, Cam's been an everyday guy. Don't feel like you need to take him out while they're in Sacramento. Leave him in there. Let him build off this. If I remember correctly, when he hit his third home run, Joe Espada gave him the next day off. And I'm like, no. Leave him in there. Let him be, like, let's let him, he's 22 years old. Leave him in. Yeah. Let him cook.
Yeah.
So hopefully they do that these next couple days. Because if you take this Astros lineup, Seth, and you line them all up like, you know, like against a wall, and you're just looking at them physically, and you ask somebody who's, you know, doesn't know anything about the Astros, which guy is supposed to have 15? Which guy do you think has 15 home runs? They would immediately pick Cam Smith. You know, like he looks like
an NFL wide receiver.
Built in a lab,
hit for some power. Yeah. Well, it looks that doesn't look like an NFL wide receiver. He looks like Andre Johnson.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Or maybe he's a little more like Nico Collins.
He's
you know?
Big and strong.
Just, yeah. He is a big, strong dude by MLB standards. I was just even looking at Cam. You can look at him and think about how, man, he's going to be 20 pounds heavier a few years from
yes,
now.
Yes, and there's room to build more bulk.
When you look at young
frame.
George Springer yeah. or, you know, any young kind of lanky but muscular dude, he still looks like a guy who's in his early 20s. He's gonna develop into a really powerful dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that was, you know what, if I were a baseball writer, I would probably phrase it something like this. The Astros awoke this morning without 29 teams ahead of them and hitting with the bases loaded.
This feels like Sudoku that I'm doing.
I got to think that they're not dead last at hitting with the bases loaded anymore after they score twice with the bases loaded last night. broken bat single. There was two RBIs by Jake Myers.
Yeah.
And then Paredes had a RBI single later, which was it was the Paredes one where when Dubon came home and they had to review it, right?
I told Seth.
Oh, like, you were asleep. Sorry. It was a dicey one. Dubon came home and touched home plate as the catcher was like trying to tag his inner thigh.
Okay.
Very erotic. And just didn't get there just in time.
Yeah. The replay of the game is on in the studio here, so this will be good. I'll get caught up on a few things. But that's good. Yeah, little bases loaded success. That is something, too, that I think is going to – that like that's another thing where the pendulum's going to swing. You know, I don't feel like this is a team that's going to be one of the two or three worst hitting teams in baseball when they actually get guys on base.
Sean, Cam Smith in the months of May and June is now hitting .298 with a .791 OPS.
That's fine.
As a rookie.
That's what I'm saying. That's fine for 2025. Obviously, in 3 years from now, we expect – bigger things from him, but that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, it is. It's awesome.
Guy barely played in the minors, Sean.
I
don't know if you've heard, but this time last year, he was in the College World Series.
I did. No, I know. That's what I said. I said, I'm good with it, man. If you had asked me in spring training, and this is when you and I are in spring training and he's hitting bombs, if you told me 791 OPS heading towards July, yeah, hell yeah for Cam Smith.
This is what I want the people at Space City Network to do is I want you to either get a hold of Cam Smith's credit card records or something, and I want to hear every day. I want to hear what was Cam Smith doing this time last year.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, Cam Smith went to Taco Bell and then showed up.
We're getting beaten over the head with the
College World
Series
facility.
We are getting hit with a lot of that for sure. All right, so the Astros win last night, 13-3. They remain 4.5 games up in the AL West, but as Seth points out, just a half game back. That's crazy. It's crazy to say, given all the bad luck, half game back of second place in the American League. We will certainly circle back to the Astros a little later on in the show. All right, we played a little bit of audio yesterday of a ranking that had Nick Caserio the 12th best general manager in football. I don't think it's an unfair ranking. I do think there is one particular part of Nick Caserio's time here, especially the last couple years with the Texans, that may be getting a little bit overlooked when it comes to the job he's done as the general manager. We'll discuss that. I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We played this little bit of audio yesterday, and it had me thinking of some things. And I just on the on Twitter had a picture pop up of an event that a Texans front office personnel group was at yesterday. A person from the Texans front office was presenting yesterday that is interesting, kind of plays into what we're about to talk about. But here was Kevin Clark of ESPN and Patrick Daugherty. Daugherty put some GM rankings together, 1 through 32. The voice you're going to hear predominantly in this clip is that of Kevin Clark talking about Nick Caserio, who is ranked 12th in this particular GM ranking.
Nick Caserio to me should be lower than 12.
Well, Caserio and Questing.
I feel so bad that this show has become me combing through your list and being like, "This is you are bad."
Well, you can
so
see Caserio, how hard this is. It's like
it's top heavy. It's top heavy. He hit on Stroud. He hit on Will Anderson. But to me, the Caserio eval is going to come after this year because did you fix the offensive line, which we know was a glaring problem? Did you hit on one of those Iowa State receivers that's going to help CJ Stroud this year? Like to me, this is the year. This is Nick Caserio's biggest year by far.
Okay. I mean, and that's you know Kevin Clark's opinion. It is a big year. The offensive line definitely is something that is going to play heavy into Nick Caserio's grade for the upcoming season. I think it's a little unfair just to dismiss all the other stuff that Nick's done positively and write it off as, well, it's top heavy and he got CJ and he got Will Anderson and there you go. You
know? Right, right. No, it's like just singling out those two guys and ignoring like that he also did draft Derek Stingley. He drafted Kamari Lassiter. He drafted even Henry Toa, who's not, you know, marquee name or anything, but so, like the team is loaded with Nico Collins, you know, various other guys that to try to act like this is the draft where you figure out whether he's actually capable of drafting good players or something. Yeah. No. The offensive line point is very, very fair. But it is, and I know they're going through all the different GMs and everything, but I do have a hard time saying like that somehow 12th is a stretch for a team that's had a winning record the last couple of years. Was when Caserio took over was a joke of the league. Yeah. Everybody like Kevin Clark or anybody else acted like the Texans were about to become the new Cleveland Browns. Yeah. It's easy to pile on. Hey, we'll make vague accusations of racism and nobody's going to fact check us on it. Yep. Like all these things, they were the whipping boy
for the
league.
They were a punchline.
They had no draft picks when Nick took over. They had a salary cap mess. The biggest mistake he made was shooting too low in hiring a bridge coach in David Culley. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he took over a disaster of a situation, which, by the way, the day he took the job, had no idea that Deshaun Watson was about to ask for a trade.
Yep.
And that also Deshaun Watson was going to end up being accused of at least 24 allegations of sexual misconduct.
Yep.
So, yeah, to act like, oh, well, he hit on Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. That's all he's done.
Yeah, the thing I wanted to hit on here that I think Nick's done a good job of is you talk about the draft, and I think he's drafted well. There have been hits and misses, no doubt. If people were bringing up counterpoints of the draft, I guarantee you we'll get a Kenyon Green text in the next 15 seconds.
Right.
I get it. Like, yeah, it's like you're not going to hit on all of them. That's for sure. I think overall he's drafted very, very well. You know, by NFL standards, you know, not everybody hits on everything. I think the one thing too, just in thinking through this weekend, Seth, is, and that's when this kind of dawned on me, is that if you look at trades and free agency, especially when you're going after veteran guys that are more expensive, that is a slippery slope to try to supplement your team when you've drafted well. And again, similarly, he hasn't hit on all of them. But I think the net of the guys that Nick has brought in via trade and free agency far outweighs, in terms of quality, the guys that he sent out and what's happened with them after they've gone somewhere else. You know,
yeah,
that's
when you think about it, especially guys who might still be viable players, but they're overpaid, like Whitney Mercilus.
Yeah,
for instance.
That
was Bill O'Brien gave Whitney Mercilus a contract that was almost like a reward for him being a good dude. But it was a vast overpayment for where he was in his career.
Yeah.
That's not a shot at Whitney Mercilus in his career or anything. It was bad GMing by Bill O'Brien at that point.
Nick, the veteran guys that Nick has brought in, I think have been by and large very positive. Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs was trending that way until he tore his ACL. I have a hard time putting a torn ACL on Nick Caserio. Like Stephon Diggs was. If Stephon Diggs didn't tear his ACL and did for the remainder of the season what he had done through those first eight games, I think that would have been a good trade for a second round pick for a guy for a veteran, you know, Pro Bowl level player. Azeez Al-Shaair, you know, when he's been on the field, has been good. We'll see what C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Nick Chubb do, but those are big names. Christian Kirk, too. Those are three big names that have been productive NFL players. I'm confident that at least two of those three, just based on the ratio that Nick had, and there have been some misses, you know, that Dalton Schultz had one good year, and then he wasn't so good last year, and it might be an overpay. We'll see. Danico Autry has had his issues, but when he's been on the field, I think Danico Autry has been pretty good. So I think by and large, the guys he's brought in have been net positive versus, say, the guys they've sent off. Like the Deshaun Watson's obviously the big one. He was a disaster in Cleveland, but traded out Brandon Cooks, hasn't really done anything since. You know, got, you know, cleaned out Zach Cunningham and Bradley Roby and Whitney Mercilus. You know, yeah, letting Grenard go, and Grenard's been good, and Amenihu's been good. There have been some misses on the guys they've let go, but I think the overall net has been very positive for the Texans.
I think that if there's one area, if I were to kind of group them, some of the veteran guys that he's brought in, including Danico Autry. You know, Danico Autry was in his 30s, had a career year the year before. Nick wouldn't have known this, but he was about to get popped with a PED suspension the summer after he has one of his best seasons as a 30-plus-year-old player. Shaq Mason is another guy that they brought in as a veteran who was past his prime but got a nice, healthy extension by Nick. Some of those I wonder about a little bit. I think since he's been paired with D'Amico over the last couple of years, I think they've done a better job of kind of identifying, all right, what kind of veteran presence do we want? We know that it might be a little bit of an overpay for a guy who's in his declining years. We want to be sure 100% that he's at least a viable player and that he's a good influence on the younger players. That's where having Jerry Hughes around for a couple of years,
yeah,
I think was
one.
Really good.
Yeah, it's a good
very
one.
Affordable, but also a really good mentor for a guy like Will Anderson.
Yeah.
And you know, that swapping out Danielle Hunter for Jonathan Grenard. Look, you can look at that, and depending on which way you look at it, you can say it was a huge win for Minnesota or a huge win for Houston. I think that because Grenard had a great year last year.
He did, yep.
I think having a mentor like Danielle has been huge for Will Anderson.
Yeah.
So I that part of it, I think he's managed real well. There's just when you bring in a lot of guys who are in their 30s, you're going to whiff on a few of them.
Yeah, of course. I think just the balance sheet of what he's done in that aspect has been really, really good. You know, even a guy like, you know, Shaq Mason was not good last year. The first year he was here, he was the only guy that managed to stay healthy all year. You know, that's
well. And another guy, if you talk about veterans they've signed, like the Cam Akers experiment last year. That was exactly what I like. I said on the day they did it, I said, don't get your hopes up because of Cam Akers' injury history, but it's so low risk.
Yeah.
And you ended up getting draft picks out of it. You could argue that maybe they shouldn't have drafted him away given the situation with the Texans' offense, but Whatever. They did. They got something out of it. Basically, like, whatever his minimal contract was, they got a draft pick out of it. And that's there's a more extreme version of it going on with Nick Chubb right now. That is so low risk,
But
such potentially high reward that it's almost like you find a lottery ticket that's going to cost you a dollar, but you've actually got a 1 in 20 chance of winning $100 million. You'd buy that. Buy that lottery ticket.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I think, you know, Cam Akers did some good things enough to where Minnesota wanted to trade for him. I do think if Nick Chubb is doing good things, there's no chance he gets traded like Cam Akers did.
No, because I think the upside is still, it's so much higher than with, because Cam still, he had a really electrifying rookie year, and the highlights were so good that people weren't really, even taking the injuries into it, they weren't considering the fact that he really hadn't been all that great a running back since his rookie year, whereas Nick Chubb's been one of the best running backs in the league when healthy.
Well, and I think Nick Chubb, too, maybe different type of leadership. He's kind of a quiet guy, but he's a guy that I think they want in that locker room probably, too. I'm not saying Cam Akers wasn't. But Nick Chubb, but
there's never been there are all kinds of stories from L.A. where the coach and the GM were basically just openly throwing shade at Cam Akers
and
some of the disgruntlement in the locker room. Yep. It was probably blown up by the media and everything, but you'll find zero reports about anything like that with Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I just think, man, I think Kevin Clark just sounds so dismissive of Caserio in that cut. You know, like, the 12th is some major reach. Like, you're a 12th, you're starting to skew towards middle of the pack, and I think Nick Caserio is definitely a better than middle of the pack general manager, you know?
This is the, it's the things that I hate when some of the people that really like to lean into the analytics and everything,
yeah.
they love to disc, they love to, they want a GM to operate a certain way, but then they're very grudging to give the credit for acting exactly the way they would want to.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, he was willing to endure a couple of rough seasons that as they restocked and reloaded, and then they got he got super aggressive in free agency 2 years ago.
Yep.
Like he's followed the blueprint, and yet people because what they'll do is they'll point to the Texans, they'll say, well, you know, turnovers are very much a luck based thing, and we can't rely on the Texans creating as many turnovers this year, but they ignore the actual substantive things that led to those turnovers, being top five in sacks, being top five in interceptions, being top five in tackles for a loss,
yeah.
like very things that are more
sustainable,
yep. right?
Yeah.
Like they don't want to give credit for that. So like that part of the defense is very, very real. Yeah, there's always going to be a pendulum swing
yep.
one way or the other, but it's and then calling making the playoffs twice flukish was the weirdest thing that is.
That was the other guy who said that. Yeah. that was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. So did you see some of these pictures that Jeremy Fowler was tweeting out yesterday from he was at some event that looked like a bunch of the personnel people in the NFL were getting up and presenting different things about how they've gone about their business. Like they had Will McClay from the Cowboys, VP of player personnel, was doing a presentation on how they do player evaluation. They had an Eagles front office guy named Charles Walls up there talking about trust and empowerment and how that's been successful in helping the Eagles build a Super Bowl. And they had a front office member for the Texans. Steve Cargyle is his name. He's a senior personnel exec. And there's a slide. It's a gigantic movie screen with a slide. And the title of the slide in big letters says, Executing Your Offseason Plan. And he's got listed all the trades that the Texans have made over the last really three off seasons, going back this offseason, last offseason, and in 2023 as well. Just listing them all, and I'm assuming presenting and talking about each of them. And I'm looking at this. I got to find out what this event is and who the audience
it's
is.
It's a GM summit.
It's a GM summit? Okay.
Yeah. You know, the GM summit.
Well,
I have no idea what
well,
that
why
is.
Why are we giving away all the answers to the test?
Who's giving the presentation?
It's a person by the name of Steve Cargyle, who's a Texans senior personnel exec. And the slide lists Texans examples of executing your offseason plan. And it's got the Shaq Mason trade from 2 years ago. It's got last year's trade for Mixon, Diggs, this year's trade for Christian Kirk and CJ Gardner-Johnson. And I think the point of it, this is Fowler's caption for the tweet, says, Texans senior personnel exec Steve Cargyle highlights Houston's flurry of recent trades when discussing free agency plans. Quote, it's a way to win on the margins. Texans, this is Jeremy Fowler saying this last part, Texans unafraid to swing trades for players likely to be released to ensure that they secure talent. And they've done a lot of that. CJ yeah. Gardner-Johnson, Joe Mixon, Christian Kirk are all examples of that. They were about to get cut by their current teams, and the Texans are like, all right, well, we're willing to take on their contract. Here's a seventh-round pick or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So why are they giving it? I don't know. I think it's probably a kind of that mentality of the, it's like when you want to send your people off to – you want to keep your people in your organization, whether it's football or otherwise. You want to keep them fresh. You want to keep them curious. You want to keep them just constantly thinking and just keep that ground fertile.
Yeah.
And that's like fertilization is you go out and you do those things and say, oh no, you're giving away all of our secrets. Well, no, but the other teams are talking too. And as long as you've got smarter people than the other organization,
pick up some things,
you can do more with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. That's remember, Tom Brady told the story about how he and Peyton Manning got together one offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't tell Belichick about it at all. But that both those guys are probably, you know, they're like, yeah, we can learn. And Belichick was notorious for being really good at soaking up information from people, but not divulging anything.
Yeah, that's so, this to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah
Belichick I guess, is but, sending his personnel but, people to this thing?
Belichick was in a different situation where he was at the pinnacle and people were just throwing information at him to the way he could kind of pick and choose. I'm cool. It's different ways to approach it. Because what happens in football especially is, man, and there's high school coaches listening who probably know and get this. Sometimes you get stuck in this rut where you do what you do and you're never going out and seeking new ideas or anything. And then all of a sudden you're running an antiquated system.
Yeah.
And there's value in that too. You get really, really good at doing what you're doing, but sometimes the game passes you by if you don't stay fresh with all that.
I think the lesson in this slide right here and in what the Texans have done in picking up some of those scrap pieces from other teams that they were getting ready to cut, the lesson is always be talking to people. My guess is that Nick Caserio is constantly in communication with other GMs. And I'll contrast that to, say, like Brian Gain, who was here for a year and a half, and it didn't feel like he talked to any other teams, you know?
Yeah.
And then no deals get made. When you're always talking and you're always networking like that, that's when, like, Howie Roseman's getting rid of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Nick will be one of the first guys he thinks of to call because they've got that communication pattern, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think with a lot of the GMs, they take an approach that's very much like commercial real estate. When... like within commercial real estate, when there's a buyer and a seller and they're both professionals, it's not like one's trying to screw the other one over typically. It's like they're trying to find a way to make the deal work for both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, this way we can structure the financing this way, that, et cetera. And Nick very much takes that approach and that, all right, there's 31 other teams that I'd like to do business with.
Yeah.
If you have a reputation of somebody that's always trying to win the trade or always trying to screw the other, you're not going to get that many opportunities.
And he's not that. You
know, Daryl Morey, very much that same attitude.
Yeah.
And I like that. And Nick will talk about in that same psychological approach with his own players. You're in a partnership with these players.
Yeah.
You're not trying to screw them with a deal that they're not going to be happy with when they wake up and realize they got screwed. You got to have a working relationship. Yep. So let's have a give and take. Let's have an open dialogue.
Got to be a win-win. Absolutely.
Well, and you know that, in giving out kind of some of your, maybe you don't give away the secret sauce, but letting other teams know the way you operate, that lets them kind of maybe think of, oh, this is a way we could operate. This is a way we could work with the Texans. If they approach it this way, okay, you know what? We've got a guy on our roster that might make
sense.
That's
a really good point. Like, oh, you're telling me that there's a team that's really willing to come pick up my recyclables off the curb. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do some headlines. If you're just getting in your car, we'll get you up to speed on the Astros. We'll get you up to see. We got a little bit of Texans news. Rockets as well. We'll get into all of that in headlines coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
1-2 to wins, and that will do it. Yiner will have to complete the strikeout with a toss down to first, and the Astros win it 13-3 as they pick up a win in the second game of this four-game series. Cam Smith with two home runs. Mauricio Dubon on base five times. Cooper Hummel, Christian Walker adding home runs. Blummer, that was a full offensive display with five home runs for the Astros.
The crazy thing about that, Todd Callis on the call, Space City Home Network. Crazy thing about that, Seth, they scored 13 runs. Jose Altuve and Jeremy Pena, a combined 0-for-7 last night. Like, it's just, you know, it's the bottom part of the order. Like, you draw a line at Yiner Diaz. Yiner Diaz was batting cleanup last night. The guys above the line had four hits. The guys below the line of Yiner Diaz had a combined 11 hits. They had 11 of the 15 hits. You know, Jake Myers gets a big hit early in the game to drive in a couple runs. The big story, Cam Smith with his first ever four-hit game, and he had two bombs and three RBIs, and it was a really good night for the boys last night.
Yeah, if you start talking about the guys who don't have the name brand appeal or at the bottom of the order, you know, Cam Smith in the last 2 months is hitting .298 with a .791 OPS. He's been an above average player, and you know, obviously he's going to have some rookie ups and downs, but so far he's not just a promising rookie, he's a very viable major league player over these last couple months. those two, the home runs hopefully indicate that you'll really start to see some of that untapped power. Remember Kyle Tucker, for the first couple years of his career, even after he got good, he was warning track Tucker. Yeah, Kyle Tucker had so many that with one extra scoop of creatine per day, I think he would have had a multitude of home runs.
Yeah.
It takes a while. Cam Smith as a rookie compared to Kyle Tucker as a rookie,
yeah,
it's not even close. Kyle Tucker hit 155 as a rookie.
Yeah.
And so that's really good. And then a guy who had been playing like a bottom of the lineup guy, Christian Walker, he's been about like an average Major League Baseball
showing
player
signs
at the plate, at least.
Yeah.
And he's got that glove. So like that's a positive development. Isak Paredes back healthy. Sean worrying about this being the worst thing that ever happened to the Astros seems to have been it wasn't an overreaction, Sean. You were right. You were right to be very, very concerned about Isak Paredes.
No, it was if it had been a longer injury, it would have been a disaster. But I'm glad it wasn't, obviously. Yeah, for sure.
That was a look. I wasn't distraught and down in the dumps or anything after the Astros lost the walk-off to the A's the day before. But it's just, this is, you know, we've had a few instances in the last few weeks of just runs coming in bunches. I would accept five runs a game every night over, you know, 12 here, then one and one and then 12 again.
Consistency would be good. Big win. And Jason Alexander, Seth. Jason Alexander, 6 innings, 3 runs, 2 earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, gave up just 3. I mean, his whip last night was 1. He had, you know, it was 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 innings. You begged the question earlier in the show. How long would it take the Astros to get either me or you ready to throw out there to give them 6 innings in a quality side? Feels like anybody that they're throwing out there right now is pitching well for them.
Right, yeah. They just teach me which 2 pitches. They tweak my pitch selections a little bit.
What would your go-to?
First, they would teach me how to throw a curveball, and then they would tell me whether I should use it or not.
What would you want your go-to pitch to be? What's your favorite pitch?
I'd like to have a vicious slider.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'd like to have an Abreu-type slider. Yeah. I would use the height to my advantage. I got a classic over-the-top release, too, Sean. So
right.
The vertical drop would be nuts on it.
Yeah,
okay?
It would be crazy.
Especially when you – I don't know if they count the ones that hit the dirt 3 feet before the plate. But my vertical drop would be incredible.
Yeah.
With a high walk rate, yes.
I would want one of those curveballs that just loop and freeze the guy and kind of hit the paint right there. Like the guy just freezes in his stance and just – there it is, strike 3. That would be mine.
Realistically, you or I would they think, okay, can we make a knuckleballer?
We'd be total knuckleballers, dude. Yeah, we'd be total. All right, a couple other headlines. Jimmy Ward's court date is set. July 16th is his initial court hearing date for his arrest last week for domestic violence, family domestic violence and assault and strangulation. Jimmy Ward will be in court on July the 16th. That's the news on that. There's no other news. We haven't heard anything new on the Jimmy Ward situation from anybody, the league or the team right now, or Jimmy Ward.
The only other aspect that's not like breaking news or anything about it, but that makes it a more of a sad situation is that the couple does have a child together. So that makes it, it's an ugly situation, and who knows exactly what all the details are. And I think the Texans are certainly looking into it. The likelihood of him at the very least being on the commissioner's exempt list at the beginning of training camp, where he still it's like being on paid suspension. You still get paid, but the league says, all right, it's bad for everyone if we let this guy play and it turns out later that all the accusations were 100% true.
They
take him out of the and he's not allowed to practice or anything. I think there's a real good chance that he's not there at the beginning of training camp.
Yeah, could be. Now, this court date is before training camp starts, so inherently we're going to learn more prior to that. So we'll see what happens with Jimmy Ward. But that's the latest on that. Brian Windhorst yesterday on ESPN, we'll circle to the Rockets here because the Rockets are in the hunt possibly to get Kevin Durant. They're one of 3 teams that have made offers that are not sufficient in the eyes of the Phoenix Suns yet, the Spurs and the Heat being the other 2. Minnesota kind of on the fringe in this thing as well. Brian Windhorst bringing up the possibility yesterday, hey, they may just say, we're not going to trade Kevin Durant.
Where do you think Durant ends up, Brian?
It's a real stare down. You know, Desmond Bane got traded for 4 first-round picks, and I see people saying, oh, my God, if Desmond Bane gets traded for 4 first-round picks, Kevin Durant's got to be you got to get 6 first-round picks. No, you're not going to get that great of a package because the team paying for it isn't sure what Durant's going to do necessarily. And the teams that Durant wants to go to, Houston and San Antonio, for example, they're leery of paying a huge amount for a 37-year-old. Their whole teams are in their early to mid-20s.
Right.
You know? So you don't have alignment in making everybody getting on the same page. You know, what Durant wants, what the Suns need, what the teams want to pay.
Right.
With the contract. I would not rule out the Suns not being able to get a trade they like and having to make a decision, like, do we not trade him at all?
Okay.
I think, honestly, the Suns would be wise to follow the Texans in the way they handled the Deshaun Watson trade, where you're trading a player. Teams don't want to trade for the player unless the player is happy for the deal. But you as the team, as the Suns, want to be sure that you get a good package. So what the Texans did with Deshaun Watson was they allowed people into the auction. And they said, hey, tell us what your trade package is. We're not going to, and we'll approve it, and then we'll let you into the auction. And then Deshaun Watson had to approve which teams, and then Deshaun Watson could select which team had the offer that he liked. Because there's a dynamic here where Kevin Durant he wants a new deal, but the Suns want a certain package, and you just put it all on the table there and see what comes of it. The only downside of that is you look at one of the teams that did that, the Falcons. And they had to cut ties with their quarterback.
They alienated
because once the cat is out of the bag that you were going to bring in a new quarterback, then all of a sudden, all right, Matt Ryan, it's probably time to cut ties with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think the dynamic's a little different in basketball. Like, the quarterback thing is like that's the face of the franchise and you're alienating him, you got to move on. I like the analogy. I feel like they've kind of done that a little bit, what you're talking about, Seth, where we've got Miami and we've got three teams making offers to the Suns. You know, like, it just feels like they've created the auction environment you're talking about, but nobody's bidding enough yet for Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
you know,
they're not letting anybody into the auction yet.
Yeah, so, all right, other quick headlines, NHL, Stanley Cup Finals closed out last night. Florida closes out Edmonton, so the Stanley Cup in South Florida, nothing says hockey like Florida hockey. And then WNBA last night, man, there was some chippiness, probably a little more than a headline deserves, but Caitlin Clark getting tossed all over the place like a rag doll by Connecticut last night. It was a lot of chippiness in a game last night. So they won, Caitlin Clark's team. Indiana beats Connecticut, but we may get into that a little bit later. We'll see.
I'll tell you what, talk about the face of the league. Those TV numbers of when she was in the league, when she was healthy and when she was out. And that included games where she wasn't even playing in, right? Yeah. It was just she just draws attention to the league
so much. Which makes what Connecticut was doing last night, just like two-hand shoves to the ground and stuff like that. She's your meal ticket.
Hey, that brings eyeballs too, man.
I don't know it does. You're right.
You of all people, the WWE aficionado, you know.
I like it. I like the chippiness. The rationale behind it. I'm just wondering what the thought process is to these teams that are just waylaying her all the time.
If you go back to Wayne Gretzky and what he meant to the NHL, there were certain things he didn't do to Wayne Gretzky.
This is that. Yeah, she needs a goon.
This guy is buttering all our bread. It's not just, you just don't do that to Wayne Gretzky. This guy is like a meal ticket for the league.
Which is why they had Dave Semenko on the team to brutally beat up anybody that touched Wayne Gretzky. She needs a goon. She needs a Semenko is what she needs. All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. C.J. Stroud, Chris Sims. C.J. Stroud, it's a mixed review. It's a mixed bag for C.J. this offseason. Was the regression a C.J. thing? Was it a Texans thing? This is probably, you're going to hear probably the highest praise this offseason that I've seen from anybody on C.J. Stroud heading into year 3. We've got that for you coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.